This is episode 114, recorded on June 21st, 2013. Packard pokes at, do these jeans make me look intolerant?
You can also now watch Packard Pokes At on Atheism TV at youtube.com/atheismtv and, as always, on youtube.com/packardpokesat. Come to the live show and chat with us on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on vonlive.tv/packardpokesat. See you there.
Do you really like Packard Pokes At and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/packardpokesat. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/packardpokesat helps support the show. Your Packard Pokes At coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes At on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far, far east coast is Joe Unseen.
Robot roll call.
I remember that one. You got to find me that song, Joe. And join us. And, yes, it is. And join us for our first appearance here on Packard Pokes At is Practical Magic, or from the far, far west coast.
Hey there. I'm different. So, I'll play with that.
Anything on this show different is always good.
Yay.
All right.
I can do that.
Yes. Okay, we have a lot of good stories for you tonight, so let's get going on to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
The human genome. Now, that's something that, you know, everybody has. If you have genes, you know, they're not the ones you keep in your closet, obviously, but or your dresser drawer, where, you know, wherever you find convenient. No, these are the things that, you know, the building blocks of life. The courts have decided that the human genes cannot be patented, which is a great thing, because corporations nowadays are trying to patent everything. I mean, if they could have patented genes, then they could make drugs that work with certain people and not, and then they say, hey, you know, you got to pay up because we have the genetic modification for your particular genome. This came right out of Washington. Now, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously on this. There was no split decision, no one against seven, you know, or six, whatever. It's great that, you know, the courts have done just this. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a little confused by this story. The Supreme Court seems to have gone both ways with the decision, and all the parties involved seem to be happy. For instance, the ACLU and their plaintiffs are saying that expensive genetic medical tests, like those that can screen if you have the genes for cancer or whatnot, are going to come down in price now that, you know, this company can't patent genes. But the company was also happy with it, and their stock price went up, and they were like, yay, we've been vindicated. So I'm kind of confused by it. Like, you know.
Yeah, I know. Usually when they say they can't be doing something, they're like, oh, God, no, I got – they grumble and bullshit about it and say all kinds of bullshit. But, you know, the fact right. that they were saying that, you know, hey, this is great. You know, and maybe it's because now that some one company can't patent it, that one company just – let's say you have gene A that can make red hair and the other people who have the gene – that can control the gene that make blue eyes. So this way, they can't say they have to force to make deals between the two of them. Everybody has to work together, and everybody profits. Any other thoughts on that?
I mean, they said that you can't patent genes that are naturally occurring in human beings, but they said you can patent a process that where you take genes and copy them and do something else with them. That you can patent.
Yeah, it's a process because that's a process. That's no different than saying, hey, I can patent the type of way I make a pizza.
So yeah. How is that going to make the medical test cheaper if these companies could still patent the test to make the test? That's what I'm confused about.
Yeah, I'm not really sure on that myself because, well, it's big business. They'll say one thing and then, you know, because when they're doing something, usually, they'll go, okay, well, don't see what's in your left hand, and because right. you know we're happy about it because we don't know why, but
it seems like it's a win for freedom, you mm-hmm. know.
Yep.
But at the same time, the company that they're up against is like, ha ha ha, we got exactly what we wanted.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it does seem a little Dr. Hyde and, you know, what's his name? Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. They're both like the same thing. It's like, something's wrong here. Practical Magic, your thoughts.
Well, primarily this was about the breast cancer, as I recall. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. they developed it. I don't know. What I think it comes back down to is I think our government really needs to be funding research more mm-hmm. because private companies, obviously they want to do what they do for the profit for the investors and the bottom line. I mean, I think it's a really good thing that it's not going to be just owned by one company.
Right.
You know, but wasn't it the synthetic? You already said that. You're talking about this, and the synthetic genes can be patented, but not the human ones, right?
Right,
not the naturally
yeah,
occurring.
That's what I understood too. Right. You know, but I have to admit, when it comes to law and patents and things, it sort of wants to go over my head just a little bit.
Welcome to Peck and Poke Set. Where everything
really
goes
hard.
Over your head. Everything's everybody's head over here on this show. No, it's. I think I tantamount to this. There's an old when the first cars came out. Ford was the first one to come out with the cars. They wanted to patent the car, but they mm-hmm. said that they said, no, you can't patent the car because otherwise everybody would just be driving Fords today. You can't patent just that. You can patent the process, yeah. the way you put something together, but you can't patent just that. I mean, right. I mean that's the way I look at it anyway. Any last thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into our next topic for this evening.
Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round. I get around. I gotta find a new place where the kids are hip.
And for tonight's segment, our Tubing Around segment, we have a nice video, Practical Magic, giving our debut on this. It's from The Careful Atheist. Let's take a look at that video right now.
And our argument is that atheism is as much religious is as much religion as Roman Catholicism, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism. It's just another ism, only this one's called atheism. That's okay, right. And it's a religion.
Communism.
And as we see here in Webster's new 20th century dictionary, the definition of a religion is, of course, any specific system of belief.
I would say atheists are in denial. They actually know that God does exist, and they're just God haters, and they're in denial.
Now, I love the way he did this. I mean,
yeah.
I took a look at I watched the whole video, and he's like pointing out fallacy after fallacy after fallacy. I would have been. I read on the about this guy. He's English is not his first language, but I'll tell you something. He picked up on these turkeys easy enough.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
I like how he I liked his opening music and everything. Of course, that's Opinionville music.
Yes, it is.
his whole site, though, too. He actually takes apart Rugenkate. I'm sorry, I can't say that name.
I don't worry about it. No one pronounces anything on this show.
Right. And another of his videos that I really liked was Atheism in the Afterlife. It's one of his earlier ones. He's mm-hmm. only got it's a good number. He has 262 subscribers. He's
yep.
only been making videos for about, 4 months
yeah,
or so. Yeah. I told him we were going to give him a shout out, and he wrote back to me, and he was really happy. And I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more from him. I've only been able to watch a few of his videos, but they're really nice.
Yeah.
thoughtful.
Yeah, I was reading some of the comments. He had a discussion with a fundie, who mm-hmm. he trusted him, and the fundie, of course, not going to follow, you know. And say, do what he said, what he was going to do, and investigate things, you know? But we invite Careful Atheists to come to the show and explain, you know, what was your thought process when you were going through this video, and maybe talk with us some more. Okay.
Yes.
Absolutely. And we will, Doc and Doug, just call him Cy, pronounce Cy.
Thank you. Cy. Thank you.
Anyway, Careful Atheist, please touch with us. It's at PackerPokeset on YouTube or PackerPokeset@gmail.com. There'll be some information and links at the bottom here at the bottom of the show. What?
Joe,
I'm sorry. You're right. I'm having one of those out-of-my-brain experiences tonight. Joe, what did you think about this video?
I think that you have out-of-brain experiences every Friday night.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Rim shot.
I watched this video, and it's really funny. The arguments that these two guys give are really bad and old and tired and refuted.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And what's really clever is Careful Atheist puts on a fallacy counter. And every time they make a fallacy, it's like,
oh, yeah,
ba-boom, and it goes up one, and ba-boom, it goes up another. You put sound effects in there, like women screaming and, like, bombs going off.
Yeah, I saw that. Funny. I was like, boom. The first time I heard it, I was like, did one of these other guys just make the sound? I was like,
he farted on camera.
That's what I thought. I wasn't sure. And it was like, oh, yeah. So then I heard the, like, oh, okay, he's adding these sound effects. He's pulling them real good.
They subtitle their names, too. One guy's name is Larry. The other guy's name is Dale. And they give their full name, so I Googled them. I found Dale's Facebook page, and he still posts, you know, religious stuff. But the other guy, Larry Wessels.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So that's a bald guy. I mean,
He's actually pretty well-known in the religious community. He makes a lot of videos. He's still active. He still uses the same tired old arguments as he did in this video, which I think is from the 90s because it looks really old.
It does look really old. Yes. I think that tie was older than them.
Dad, can I borrow your tie? I'm making a video about atheism.
It's proof of dinosaurs. There you go.
Yeah, and you know, usually now, dinosaurs I've heard this old statement, you know, about men that go bald on top, you know, they say, hey, traffic doesn't run on a busy street. Well, it may have been busy for about 5 minutes, but now it's gone, and now there is no traffic there whatsoever. So now it's just a solar panel for a stupidity machine. I'm sorry, that's really bad. That was mean, but I'm in a mean mood tonight.
Only sort of.
Only a little bit.
Kind of.
Sort of. You can blame my computer for that one. I just...
It was bad computer.
Bad computer. Don't piss off Packard. Packard smash. No, sorry.
Dave in the chat room says, be careful of bears when making fun of bald people.
Yes. I'm just glad his name wasn't Elijah. Then I might have to be worried. All right, let's move into our next topic for this evening. Oh, yeah. And tonight's topic of discussion is religious intolerance. Now, religious people out there, they seem to think that, you know, that they can get away with anything they want. A lot of them. I'm not saying all. I'm saying many. Now, there's a lot of religious people out there that they say, you have to be tolerant of our religion. You have to be tolerant of it. No, I don't have to be tolerant of a religion. But on the same hand, they will be completely intolerant to others. Gay people, atheists, LGBT, anybody that doesn't conform to them or other religions. That's just in this country alone. There are over 36,000 different denominations. You get Baptists against people who are Pentecostals, and they will go head to head. They'll say Pentecostals are demons because they speak in tongues. And Pentecostals say the Baptists are demons because they don't speak in tongues. You know, that's just an example. And then you got the Protestants against the Catholics. And there's no intolerance there. You know, there's no tolerance there, rather. I mean, but all in the end, you know, they think they believe in the same thing, but there's so much of these little things. You know, just beyond in their own intolerance between inside their own religion is astounding. And then they carry their intolerance to everybody else. There's an old saying, their intolerance is what they think their God believes. So they're as it says, you know, their God thinks like them, as it were. So, but we're going to get started on we're going to start the timer now. And the timer's right here. Let's get 7 minutes on the clock. There we go. Hey, there it is. And we're going to start that time now. Practical Magic, you go first.
Well, when people say, religious people say that they want us to be tolerant, what they actually mean is they want to be above criticism.
Right.
And a lot of the reason that religious people have this is because God isn't just this all-powerful being. He's also their savior, their father, their, you know, it's like family. And they they can't separate themselves from their God. They can't separate themselves from their holy book because it's all elevated, and that's what they mean. But they don't see that their actions are themselves intolerant. They just can't. They're very blind to it.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have anything else you want to add on that?
Well, I'm sorry. I guess I didn't know if we were going to bounce back and forth a little more.
Oh, yeah, no, keep going if you want to. Keep going if you want to.
Oh, all right.
I'm used to being beaten into submission in this segment. So
yes. Well, the other talking point I really had, too, was that they see that it is loving and caring for them to point out that, you know, you are going to hell because...
Oh, I know. Isn't that loving? It's like saying, hey, I'm going to send you to a dungeon to have you beaten and burned and tortured forever, but I love you.
Well, that their God will.
Oh, yeah.
Again, right. it's not them. That's what gets me, is that it's all outside of themselves, and
yeah,
their
intolerance
is what God calls them to.
Right. You know, that's funny
I'm sorry,
about... No, I'm sorry. You know what's funny about that is they say... A Christian comes up to an atheist or something. They say you're going to hell, and it's like, you know, the thing is though, they're the ones that's making that judgment call. I mean, they'll say no, it's God's making that judgment call, but you know, they could have, you know, taken the time and said, you know, I'm not going to actually say that because it might be come off as, you know, offensive. But no, for them, they don't think it is offensive, but you know, say you criticize their religion. Oh, I'm being persecuted. Joe,
yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
I think this kind of stems also from the notion that some religious people have about respect. They feel that their religious views are automatically deserving of respect and you cannot criticize it. And because their religion teaches them that they must be intolerant of certain people, like gay people or whatnot, then by criticizing their intolerance, they're like, oh, well, you're not respecting my beliefs, therefore you're being intolerant of me.
Right.
And that's certainly not what it is. It's criticizing an idea, their idea that, you know, gay people should be put to death or a woman who isn't a virgin on her wedding night should be stoned. And it really isn't that. It's the criticizing of the idea, not the individual.
Right, and that's the part that they don't seem to want to separate, because they think that they are their religion. No, you are not. That is just your belief and what you think is in your head.
Those are the marbles rolling around in your skull.
Yes, absolutely, or the rocks bouncing back and forth, whichever case. But you are not people. You out there, you are not your religion. You are a person. Act like a person, you know,
right.
Do other things. You know, people don't just, I don't know, pray or whatever it is that you a lot of religious people do nowadays. I've been on religion for so long now, I've forgotten a lot of it, but I know more about it than some religious people do, which is scary in itself. Practical Mad, do you have any more thoughts on this? We have about 3 minutes on the clock, so let's fill that up.
well, on an article that you were pointing out to me, Answers in Genesis,
oh, yeah.
Ken Ham is going on. One of the things he says here is how atheists will sanctimoniously determine morality for themselves. And I looked at that and I thought, oh, okay, you know, they think that they own morality. They think that they are the ones that are total dispensers of it again. And
yes.
And the other thing is, one of the hardest things to get a Christian to even begin to admit, to get them to just say, can you imagine just for 2 seconds that God does not exist? And it's impossible. It was impossible for me for a very long time. I couldn't even get to the zero set point, the, you know, not negative, not positive, just
no.
Yeah. And again, they internalize everything. They can't see that they are good on their own. I mean, you know, really they are. They don't need God to be good. Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree with you there. You know, it's just, I was also looking at that thing there on the Answers to Genesis, and
right.
This is the first time I've actually ever had to go. I went there just because based on this. They also said they have intolerance and arrogance. I mean, that was the first bullet point they put on there. I mean, they're the ones that's showing their intolerance here, not us. And arrogance.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll dispense with arrogance at the moment, but you know, and then they say that they're the atheists are going against people who are trying to preach homeschooling or whatnot. You know, there's a lot, there are atheists out there that do their own homeschooling. I mean, I know a few of them actually.
Oh, I do. I'm a homeschooler.
Well, see, there you go.
But you see, they're trying to create fear. Fear of atheists. And, it, you know, actually, this isn't necessarily on – I'm talking about intolerance. One of the reasons that I would really very much like to be more out as an atheist and be visible is because I think that that's what puts a face on normalcy. Mm-hmm. When you know, it's like when gays came out of the closet, all of a sudden you realize, well, gays aren't, you know, scary perverts, you know, lurking in bathrooms. They're the person next door. You know, they're these really nice, normal people. We need to put a face on atheism because,
right,
you know, they're very intolerant of us because they're scared of us.
Right,
absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely. The A word is what terrifies them.
Yes, because they hear atheists say, you mean you don't believe in God? Oh, my God, if I get near you, I might burst into flames or something because I'm near an atheist.
Or even worse, you hate me because I'm religious.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's another one. You hate me because I'm religious. No. I don't hate you because you're religious. I hate because – that was another thing.
I hate what your religion is doing to you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, speaking of that, that was one of the things they put up there, that, you know, atheists, they basically do not start wars or anything like that, but they say it's what was it here? Fighting? Or no, it's fighting against religion. Or no, I forgot. I just read it here.
Oh, fighting against freedom of religion?
Yes, fighting against freedom for religion, you know, and it's like the only thing we're fighting for is freedom. We're a big proponent of freedom from religion.
Well, that nobody's one ideal should be ruling everybody else. That we should just be, it should be what is good for humanity. That's
right.
That's secular.
Right.
You know, we want a secular society.
Right. Actually, before we get going any further, that's our time, actually. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you there, but yeah, I really had no choice. But anyway, yeah, this is a great topic. I mean, maybe be able to come back on this again sometime. But religious people, we're not intolerant of you personally. I mean, mm-hmm. You can be intolerant of somebody in person. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. But just because we're not intolerant of you just because you're religious, because I can be intolerant of somebody just because they're an idiot, you know. That's anybody. That can be anybody. And I don't care what their beliefs are, whether it's an atheist or a Jewish or whoever. It really does not matter at all. All right. Anyway, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
And on tonight's Did You Know They Were an Atheist? We are going to be talking about Berkeley Breathed. Berkeley Breathed was Guy Berkeley Breathed, Burke Breathed. He was born on June 21st, 1957, and he's an American cartoonist. You may know his work as from Bill the Cat and Opus the Penguin. He was best known for Bloom Country in the 1980s cartoon strip that dealt with social political issues as understood by fantastical characters, like the ones I just mentioned, the Penguin and Bill the Cat. Now, he stopped making these back in the late in 2003, 95. No, I'm sorry. He
2008.
Yeah, 2008. Mm-hmm. And he discontinued for a while. But now he was writing some children's books and everything like that. But I enjoyed his cartoons, and I liked the way he kind of ended the series when it came down to it. And it was a great way of doing it. I enjoyed that comic. I was actually kind of sad to see it go. But, you know, all cartoonists eventually retire. And when they do,
except,
you know,
Jim Davis.
Well, so far.
that guy's going to outlive us all.
He probably will. But anyway, when cartoonists do retire, and eventually, you know, they have to retire because, you know, death catches up to everybody eventually, then, you know, we will miss the freshness of that cartoonist. I mean, and sometimes, you know, play them back over again, you know, as they'll rerun them in the local papers or whatnot, and then we can re-enjoy them. But, yeah, Berkeley Breathed, I mean, that's an interesting last name to begin with. I did not know he was an atheist at all. I mean, I thought, you know, I just enjoyed his cartoons and his comics because I always called the comic section of the page the intellectual section because that's the because it actually boils down everything that's going on in our lives. Unfortunately, it's a few days or weeks late, but, you know, it boils it all down to, yeah, let's make fun of this. And
that's the part I always read first.
That's right. Yeah, that's the best part. And then you read the rest of the paper because you got to get your entertainment in. Joe, what do you think of Guy Berkeley Breathed?
I was a huge fan of Bloom County and Outland. I think Bill the Cat and Opus the Penguin are awesome. When I was a kid, I used to try and draw Bill the Cat, and I got kind of semi-good at it. The drawing style of that cartoon is really good. The humor, the comedy, the intelligence of it, it was just awesome. And I went to the Berkeley Breathed Wikipedia page, and it said, at just sort of like as a note, that he had said he was an atheist in some interview, so I went and looked for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a 2004 Psychology Today interview, and he said, "The interesting thing is I have absolutely no neuroses, I have no mother issues, no issues of self-actualization, no sibling envy or weight issues. Although I am an atheist, I don't fear death any more than, say, sharing a room at a detox center with a sobbing Rush Limbaugh."
I remember reading that. That was funny.
So, yeah, that would terrify me.
Hey, just getting too close to Rush Limbaugh would I don't want to be that close to pure evil anywhere.
You might wake up with him sucking on your arm or something,
and have my fingers gone. Practical Magic, what did you think of Berkeley Breathed?
Oh, well, I love Berkeley Breathed. I was a big fan of Bill the Cat, and I liked Opus too, but Bill the Cat was so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised by reading about it too, that he won a Pulitzer Prize for editorial cartooning in 87. He won a Golden Duck Award for his children's books, which he has at least five, for excellence in children's science fiction. And he has a book, Mars Needs Moms, and Disney just last year, a couple of years ago, turned that into an animated feature.
Oh, he made that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of cartooning. It's my shorthand when I want to draw, and so I just, when I have somebody, I love their style.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it remind you of Doonesbury too? And I think I saw that in the article.
Yes.
Said
it was
reminiscent
Doonesbury
of Doonesbury.
Too. Yep.
Bloom County was kind of like Doonesbury meets Calvin and Hobbes on acid.
Yes.
Oh, and there's another one. I love Calvin and Hobbes, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I like Bill the Cat because he always looked like he was like 2 inches. He was like 10 seconds away from being stoned completely. It looked like he was already halfway there, and he's like,
"Whoa." I think he abused pills and drank in the cartoon strip too. Like, yeah. Bill the Cat was just a mess.
Yeah, he was. If you look at the picture, he's like, his hair is all over. This is
this
is one cat who cannot take care of himself. So.
It's like Hunter S. Thompson as a cat.
Yes.
Oh yes. No, wouldn't that be funny if that's what inspired him?
Yes, it would be.
Gosh.
Yes, it would be. But anyway, yes, Berkeley Breathed, you know.
So happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, I think that today is his birthday, as a matter of fact.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So,
happy
June 21st. Yeah, June 21st. So we're debuting him on his birthday. So if nobody else knew that he was an atheist, well, we just outed you.
We know now.
So
he's not going to get a fruit basket from his neighbor this Christmas.
No. Because he's outed on Packard Folks.
Maybe some rotten fruit.
Showing that Christian
really
love again.
He was really looking forward to those tangerines.
Yeah. They're showing that Christian love again. Send the rotten fruit. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, tonight's one of those short show nights, so we're going to. But before we get out of here, if you want to contact us, and I know you do, we're going to give you all the information because we are all over the place. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and yes, even email. And we're going to tell you how to contact us right now.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator. Those may not work, but you can contact us on Twitter as PackardPokesAt and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on faunlive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixlr Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation.
Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokesat merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesat today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesat.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
Oh, Joe, wow, you wrote a whole new thing and added new music. Wow, you just you're out of breath again, Joe. Jeez. I'm going to have to start shipping you some inhalers, I think.
Right. Yeah. I should just breathe pure oxygen all the time.
Don't get near Joe. He's breathing pure oxygen. He may burst into flames.
And don't smoke around Joe either.
Smoking Joe.
Smoking Joe. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming and coming to our live short show this week. And we'll be back next week with a much longer show. Until then, this has been Packet Pokes that we just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Yay! Contradictions. In the Bible,
the order of creation. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Adam and Eve were created at the same time. Genesis 2, 7 and 2, 21 through 22. Adam was created first. Women, sometime later.
Did you like that, kids? Want to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you're gonna have to wait until next week.
Oh.